turn to back chapter 2. One of the problems with being the last week to teach is that I'm already in trouble because of time. It's always the issue of time. When you got next week, you can always say, okay, we'll start, you know, but today is not that way. So we'll see how it goes. We'll do our best. But I want to make sure whatever we do, we have to get to the last four verses of chapter 3 for sure, and we will. Quick review. Habakkuk, a prophet, a man of God, and he's really upset. He's not happy with the Lord. He's asking questions. He doesn't understand. How can this be? Why are you allowing this, Lord? Why are you doing this? And so on. So it's not a happy situation. But wait till you see the end. How long, he asked, how long are you going to let this go on? And why is it happening to my people? Why? Oh, I need a reader today. Laura is going to be my reader. Now, I want you to read with as loud a voice as Sarakin would read. Only kidding. Read verses 2 to 4. Habakkuk 2.
Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Thank you. Now, Tony, did he give you a picture of a sculpture? Yeah, I would like you to put that up, if you don't mind, because we're going to refer to that in a few minutes. So here we have this dear brother speaking boldly to God. And he says, he will speak to me, and I will answer this in a dialogue. There's going to be a dialogue between him and the Lord. And it's not all that friendly sometimes. It's uncomfortable. Okay? Is this the picture? Does anybody know what this picture is? I took it this week.
Is that Martin Luther at the cemetery?
That's Fat Martin Luther. And it's where my dad's buried behind my house, in a cemetery behind my house. And I took it this week, and that's my little grandson. We were riding bikes, and I thought we'd be good. Cadillac Gardens. It's good. Oh, it's got a nice plaque there. It tells what Martin Luther said, and it's good. Can you give me, in your life, an example of this happening? Where you really question God about something in your life. I'll give you 2 minutes. Anybody? Go ahead, just speak up.
Last year when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I can't even say the word still. Very, very difficult. I thought to myself, God, you know, I try to serve you. I'm involved in a Bible study. I teach. This is not what I need, right? So we question God. We question his ways. And then the year before, I had something come up. And then this year with another issue. And finally, after this year, I talked to the Lord. And he told me, you know what? I put you in these things. I can get you out of them. And I will lead you to, you know, face whatever adversity happens. I'm with you during the blessing times. Just stick with me, and I'll see you through. And however I want you to serve me, whether it's doing what you're doing now or talking with people, because of what I've gone through, that's what God would have for me. And it was a struggle, especially with the cancer. It wasn't anything I ever would have expected.
Yes.
I struggled a long time.
Yeah.
But God, He was listening to me, even in all my tears and my struggle.
Wow. Sue, thank you for your transparency. Thank you so much. Let's go to verse 2. Okay? Talk about this. God speaks clearly. Okay? He speaks very clearly. He says, write it down on tablets. We want to have a record. We want to have a record of what's taking place here so nobody would forget. Okay? And then 3, you have an appointment. Something's going to happen here. It's not going to all be good either. God says, I'm in charge of this. It's going to work, Sue. It's going to work. Christian, it's going to work. Barry, it's going to work. There's an end to this coming. There's an end. But we must go through this. We must go through this. None of this will prove false. You'll never be able to say that I did a falsehood, that I lied to you, that I misled you. You'll never be able to say that. It's going to happen, and it's going to be true. Now, verse 4. This is a big thing. This is a big thing. And to me, it's so exciting to see it here in this little tiny book that we don't even know when this guy lived. Okay? We want to make sure that we get this right. We don't want to miss on this. So when I saw Martin Luther, who I see a lot, I've probably ridden, I've been living there for 42 years. I've probably ridden my bike or jogged, 15,000 miles in 42 years, probably, around that cemetery. I like that cemetery. And I always go by him and say, good morning. Good morning. How are you, Martin? And then Dave, don't take this literally. And then when I go by Jesus, I always say, good morning, Jesus. I know it's not Jesus, but good morning. How are you, Jesus? So glad to see you. So I do that. And when I take the kids out, I do that with them too. Isn't that cool? Let me say something. That this little phrase, also, when you look at it, it's placed 3 times in the New Testament. We don't have time to look at those verses. In Romans, in Galatians, in Hebrews. How the Lord used that little phrase that we're about to look at again. A little phrase, and He just wanted to emphasize it. And He pulled it out of this little hardly known book. And this phrase, if I may say so, helped. There were many other verses involved, certainly from Romans. But this certainly helped energize the Reformation to some extent. The just shall live by faith alone. The righteous, same word, shall live by faith alone. We're called to live like this. You cannot go wrong on this. We don't want to get it wrong. We want to make sure we got it right. It's by faith. Not even that much work. It's got to be explained. I wasn't going to say this, but 1 minute story. Yesterday, Pam and I rode in a 1955 Ford Grand Victoria? Beautiful car. It was like a brand new car. We're driving down there, and we ended up down by 7 Mile, and we ended up down by 7 Mile and Gratiot, and we ran out of gas. But I want to tell you something. God was with us. Everybody was very friendly. And I had an opportunity like you wouldn't believe to share the gospel with a couple who were kind of guarding us while we were waiting for Roy to come down and rescue us. Okay? So it all worked out. Isn't it great? Oh, is this a beautiful car? This is a beautiful car. Now let's stop here for a minute. This, in essence, is the gospel. I want to ask you a question. Give me two ways you live by faith alone in your life, even this week. Just give me two ways. Come on. That you live by faith. I did it yesterday. I was not too happy that I'm standing out there wondering what was going to happen next, okay? But it turned out glorious. It really did. Anybody? Anybody? Go ahead.
I give one way. This week, I was reading this in Hebrews, and it was an amazement to me because I never noticed this before. You'd be surprised about that. But it says, by faith they believe God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
So I really enjoy nature, and I can't help but, like, hear birds go by, and trees, and see the sunrise, and the clouds, and the trees, and I'm, like, just in awe. And so, but God says it's by faith.
Yes.
Me that he created.
Yes.
So that really speaks to me to see God's hand in creation. It inspires me to believe him. As you just look at, like, the beautiful sparrow, it's just incredible. You know, just,
amen.
It continually feeds my soul.
Amen. Thank you. Any more? Go ahead. Just speak up. Go ahead.
I stay up a habit all the time of asking God, why, God, why, or when. And when I quit doing that and getting some trust, some faith that God's going to work it all out for good, he doesn't lie. I got to have faith in that. Even if I don't totally believe it or have evidence, I know God didn't lie, and I know what he said, and I have to believe it, and I do.
Yeah. Amen. One more. 1 minute.
Over here. It's about my wife. She's self-employed. She doesn't have 9-to-5. She has, as clients come in and clients can drop off and whatever. She no longer wants to live by credit cards. That was a choice she made. So everything's going to be, as I have money, I'm going to pay for it, etc. So there's been times, and it just happened just recently, where clients dropped off for what last minute, whatever. And she says, I was counting on that X amount of blah, blah money, you know what I mean? But in conversing back and forth, you know, we bring up, the Lord always has provided, and even if it's at the last hour, whatever, he always provides, and it's in faith in his provisions, and we're thankful for it.
Isn't that good? Very practical. Thank you. We're to live by faith alone. This is our life we're called to live. This concept revolutionized the world. Okay? It spread throughout the world for 300 years after Christ rose from the dead and beyond. And then again, with the Reformation arriving, another huge revival occurred that changed the world. This is a big thing, folks. This is a big thing. And right after the just shall live by faith, okay, I simply want to show you, look there, it says catalog. Do you see the word catalog in my outline? Down there?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go over those items. I do have a time issue today. I'm not going to do it. But he tells what these wicked Chaldeans are like. And they kind of sound like Hamas to me. Okay? It sounds similar. They don't live far from each other either, by the way. I don't think so over there. So he catalogs that. Okay? And now we come into chapter 3. So let's go to chapter 3. Are you guys with me? You all right?
Yep.
Chapter 3. Laura, could you read 1 and 2?
A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy.
Yes. He's crying to God. He's saying, Lord, please listen to me. I got a problem. Help me. We need help. In the outline under B, for chapter 3. Could somebody read that? What does it say?
He refused
God's care for Israel from Egypt.
Say that a little louder.
He refused God's care for Israel from Egypt to Canaan.
So he does a little biography, a little history lesson of what occurred, how they came out of Egypt, man, and got into Canaan. It's a glorious story. It's a wonderful story. Okay? And then, Gary, what does C say?
He waits for the enemy to be punished.
Yep. He waits for the enemy to be punished. And Laura, would you read verse 6?
He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting.
He's marveling at these things. He's thinking about these things. Okay? And then I want to go to the outline, Gary, if you would. And that's the section concerning verses 17 to 19. Yes?
No matter what happens, you will trust in God for strength.
Okay. Here, earlier in this section, God is seen marching through the land, conquering. He reminds them of the Red Sea and what took place there. That's a story to always be told. Nobody, unbelievers, they just simply don't believe that. But it's kind of a wonderful thing when I can tell the people about the Red Sea story and say, you know what? Not only was it a wall of water, but the land was absolutely dry. Okay? That's how God did it. And that's a story to be told unashamedly. We don't have to apologize for it. And 2 million people plus crossed it. Huh? And as they got across, oh my goodness, all the enemy came in and the wall of water killed them all. It's a marvelous story of God's provision. He tramples the evil. He takes care of those that trust him is the whole theme of this whole section, okay? And here he says he does it in anger. He's not happy with the misbehavior, in this case of the Chaldeans. Not happy with them at all. And then let's go to 15 and read that. I may have goofed up a few things here, forgive me. Let's go to 15. Verse 15. Laura, if you would read that concerning the Red Sea.
You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters.
Yep. And down it came. And then go to 16 and read that.
When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself.
Yes.
That I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes up to the people. He will invade them with his troops.
He waits for the enemy to be punished. He waits for them to be punished. And when the prophet hears of the punishment of the Babylonians, he trembles and waited in silence, total silence. I want to talk about this for a little bit. Have you ever been, and Susan, you can further tell your story. Have you ever been in a tough situation like this where you just sat in total silence for more than 5 minutes with God to listen to what he was going to say to you? Has anybody had this experience?
Again, when I never told my husband, but I called a dear friend tell her, she knew, you know, the steps I was going through, the testing, and when I called her, I said to her, you just sit with me and mourn with me.
Yes.
She did. She didn't give me scripture. She didn't, you know, that was afterwards. We're very good friends, so we, you know, poke each other, and we can do that, but at that moment, I just asked her to sit with me, like, we wish Job's friends would have just done with him and kept their mouth quiet. And so we just were on the phone, and she cried, I cried, and we just sat there together, and then we prayed.
How many months ago was that?
Oh, that was last year.
So sometimes when you go see people in the hospital and so on, it's good to just sit down and say, hey, let's just bow our heads before God. And I dare you to try this and go 3 minutes in total silence. This man is in agony. He's dying. He's had a lot of parts taken out of his body. What do you want to say? And I'm telling you, I dare you to try this. Just sit in silence. Because when this came, when this was all coming, Habakkuk then sat in silence and waited for God Almighty to answer. Now, has anybody had the experience that they'd like to share where you had a terrible time in your life, a tough time in your life, and you sat in silence and you actually could hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you? I'm not asking, I mean this. Maybe through the scriptures or whatever, please share.
I was in prison for quite a while, and you got a lot of quiet time. And the only one who was ever there, nobody visited me because I was evil. And I deserved that, and I was okay with that. But God was always there. He never left. Every time I spoke, I didn't really speak, but I could. He answered me. When I said an ant running in and out under the wall had more freedom than I did. And he told me a still small voice that I could still hear. He says, when you were free, what did you do for me? I was in prison after I got rid of drugs in my life, and then I still had consequences to pay, and I questioned why, God, why? And after I got rid of the drugs, and I says, and now I'm in prison unjustly, so I told him, and he said, you're not innocent, you are guilty. You are not innocent. You're guilty of something. If not that, you are guilty. And he always answered. Always. Always had something to say. And I'm sure of that. But until I was in prison with no other distractions, I never listened. And it was my listening that allowed me to hear and speak. And so thank you.
Wow. What a story. How about one more?
Back when I was in college, I used to listen to a lot of rock and roll before I found Christian music, more or less. And there was an evening where God just said, hey, it's this or me. And I didn't hear a voice, but everything inside of me said, you got to make this choice here. So I just threw everything in the garbage.
Wow.
That was my...
Yeah. I remember 40 years ago during a Bible study at 11 Mile in Jefferson, evangelistic Bible study, and the guy was just like you. Now, this is record time. This is records. We had a bonfire that night. And God spoke in silence around the bonfire. And then all of a sudden, Eddie went. And he got, oh my goodness, 200-300 records. Can you relate? Can you relate? And he burned every one of them. He had just gotten saved less than 6 months. He had just gotten out of Jackson Prison, by the way. And it was at his mother's house. We had this study. And we burned those hundreds of records. I'll never forget that. In silence. And then we sang a song.
That's awesome.
And he said, I never went back to it. It ruined my life. I don't want anything to do with it. Thank you.
He used to have cassettes also. A few weeks before, a garage got broken into it, so we stole them all.
I didn't know you were such a wicked man, brother. I didn't know you're so wicked. Okay. When the prophet hears of the punishment of the Babylonians, he trembles and waited in silence, in total silence. And then something happened. And I want to tell you a little story. And I have permission to share this story. I got it last night. There's a person in our lives, my lives, very, very important people in my lives, my wife's lives. And they're Christian people. They're godly people. They're in the scriptures a lot. They walk with God. They talk with God. They live for God. They are, I can hardly find a better example in my life than this couple. They're less than 40 years old. They have three children. Three children. One, 9 years old maybe, and he's, I don't want to use that word retarded, but you know what I'm saying. I can't. Challenged. Yeah, let's use the word challenged. And he's in diapers, and this is the way he lives, and he will live this way probably for the rest of his life. 2 weeks ago, and it's a trial. It's an unbelievable trial in their life. And 2 weeks ago, he was at the special school. Boom, falls down, crushes his mouth here. 3 or 4 teeth are ripped out of his mouth. He had to have surgery, had to have wiring put all up in here and on and on and on. Okay, it was just awful, awful. Now we got another little guy. He's, 7, 8, okay? A few years ago, he went through a terrible trial where he went to an apple orchard and he touched something he shouldn't have touched. I mean, anybody would have touched it. And he got a horrible disease, and he almost died. We were down at Children's Hospital a lot to visit him. And he survived. Today, he's, 30 seizures a day. He has 30 seizures a day. Okay? This is the life he lives. And he's getting ready. He's getting ready, and they've worked on this for a long time. And he's getting ready to have an incredibly serious operation on the 5th of July, in which 23 holes will be drilled into his head. And they're going to put electrical wires in there. Don't ask me to explain it any more than that, to try and help here, okay? This has been searched and researched. This week, I get the call from his grandpa. He says, Barry, you got to pray. My little boy was on the swing set, and he fell. He had a seizure, and he fell off the swing set, and he broke his hand. Okay? What? Broke his hand? Yeah. It's all swollen. They can't even put a splint, and on and on. He went on and on about it. That's at 9:30 in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. Then I get a call about 3:30. Barry, you got to pray. They have one more child, a daughter, 13, 14. No issues with her that way, physical issues. She was riding her bike, and she fell off her bike, and she broke her hand. Both occurred in one day this week. Now, I don't know about you, but how much more can a family take? You understand?
Yep.
Let me tell you something. As I visit them, I'm getting the Bible lesson. They're teaching me. I mean it.
That's right.
They're trusting God. I mean, how much more can they take, folks? What's your thoughts? Go ahead.
When I've read this last section of Habakkuk,
yep,
consistently, I've always been reminded of Job 13:15. Where Job says, though he slay me,
yeah,
I will hope in God.
Yes. Why don't you read that one more time?
Though he slay me, I will hope in him.
Yeah. And what does it mean?
It means even if God decides this is the end of my life,
I'm going to hope in him.
I put my hope in him.
Yeah. Let's read those verses, Laura. 17 to 19. Okay. This, to me, is what I want to focus on right now.
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills.
Amen. Thank you. Well, a little change of heart here, eh? A little change of heart. Sue, how many days, months was it before you hit this one, that you've actually fulfilled this very thing we just read?
Probably 4 months.
4 months, yeah. Well, I don't know how long Habakkuk. I think much longer, possibly. Here's what he says. I just want to pray right now. Lord, this dear brother was very concerned about his country, about his nation that he loved and served. He was very concerned. And Lord, we are very concerned about our country too.
Amen.
We're very concerned. We are living in times, at least in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen it quite like this. A divided nation. This is a nation that had its roots pretty, really good, rooted in Christianity. And the scriptures had a lot to say about our country, okay? And it was a wonderful experience, and we enjoyed it. And I believe the blessings were given. Really, when from my perspective, when you analyze history, Lord, you can't get much better than what we had.
Amen.
It was wonderful. And Lord, we have slid and slid and slid. Just like these Judah people. We have disobeyed. We have turned from our evil ways, our country. And I don't know what to do. I'm concerned about this election, Lord. I mean, can't there be something better than either one of these jokers? And I just don't know. So, Lord, we're here we are. Here we are. We're right here with regard to our country. And I pray that you'd give us wisdom in the coming months as we're going to go through one of the most horrendous situations in politics we've ever seen in our lives, Lord. And my biggest concern, because I'm at the end of my life, I mean, if I get 5 more years without being in a nursing home, it'll probably be miraculous. And I'll take every day that you give me, Lord. But I'm concerned about my grandchildren. I am very concerned about my grandchildren. And that's why I'm crying unto thee, Lord. Help us to understand what is about to be said here and take it in with regard to our nation and with regard to our personal lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what he says. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter what, he will trust in God. He will trust in God. In the meantime, whatever trials, whatever hardships, whatever you throw at me, Lord, okay, I have to endure. I have to trust you that he will, that you will, and you will. And in this case, he did. He trusted in the Lord. He had a whole change of heart from chapter 1. A whole change of heart took place. He says, I look at the situation, and I'm going to be a little bit silly here, forgive me. I'm going to lose it all, folks. I may lose it all, okay? I may lose my crops. I'm going to lose my sheep, okay? I might lose my family. I might lose my home. I might end up in jail because I speak the truth in the open. And maybe arrested. Maybe mistreated. Who knows? Lose it all, folks. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord.
That's right.
And rejoice in the Lord for sure. Okay? Go ahead, please.
I shared with you.
Yes. Could you stand and speak, please? This dear lady is in my Bible study, small group Bible study. This is Jane McEwen. Jane, would you give this story? Listen to this carefully. Go ahead.
Last January, my sister, after dealing with abdominal pain on and off for 10 years, and they never could ever find a reason why, became very ill and was diagnosed with a aggressive cancer. And we were crying out to the Lord for healing, if not healing, Lord, please give us even a few more months. In their church, in her husband's church, their pastor had just talked to Rebecca. So on the whiteboard in her hospital room, her husband wrote these verses, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and take joy in the God of my salvation. Susan knew that it was not good. And instead of, we cried out for months, but we were only given 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
So she determined that every person came into her hospital, she shared that she knew where she was going and shared the gospel with them.
Isn't that wonderful? She's with the Lord now. She's with the Lord. You miss her, don't you, Jane? But she's with the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? Anybody? Go ahead, bro.
Growing up, there was a young girl in the church that I attended growing up, Five Points Community Church. Maybe 7, 8 years old, who got diagnosed at that age with ovarian cancer. And they said she had maybe 4 or 5 months to live. And she got progressively worse and kept getting worse. And at that age, God gave her the strength to not only be a testimony to her parents. Her parents said that every time that they went into her room and every time anybody went in her room, she would not focus on, you know, oh, this hurts or that or, you know, where's this or where's that, but you know, Mom, how are you doing? Dad, are you okay? You know, she was constantly worried about how everybody else was doing.
Oh, my.
And she... There were a couple people in her life that wanted to give her a final gift. And one of the gifts was she wanted a horse, she wanted a barn. So for maybe a month, she got to enjoy a horse and a barn.
Aww.
She wanted her parents to create a fund for adopted kids, to help adopt kids. And that, I forget the name of the ministry, but that ministry is still alive and well over in Africa. They're helping raise money and actively working with the kids to teach them the gospel, to provide for their physical needs, and to help find the homes. so in
wonderful
her pain,
yeah,
that's bearing fruit for Lord knows how long.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
All right, let's, what do we got here? We're in good shape. I might lose it all, but he is the God of my salvation. He is the God of my salvation. Let's close by doing this. This is a powerful, I had that family I shared, they had not read Habakkuk in the last 5 years, they thought. But guess what? They've been reading it every day the last 4 days. And last night, they told me, it has overwhelmed them with joy. Overwhelmed them with joy. Anybody else want to share? Huh? Something? What do you got? Wait, brother. Go ahead.
This was almost 30 years ago. I was a young Christian, and I was pulling a service call in Pontiac. They had a mental institution over there where people were overly medicated, they were treated mentally ill. And there was an individual behind the counter, and him and I were conversing somewhat on things. It was things of God. And when I was getting ready to leave, I just wanted to get my next call. I started up my vehicle. I had a tugging in my heart that I was to go back and speak to him. I was fighting it. I turned my vehicle off. I said, no, it ain't going to matter. I turned it back on, and I couldn't leave. I couldn't put it in D and leave. And I ended up going back in there because I walked up to the guy behind the counter, and this guy was, he's an Arabic gentleman. And I said, Jesus Christ is Lord. He stopped, his jaw dropped down. He said, I've been praying for direction for a long time. He goes, thank you so much. I'm thinking, I said nothing. What are those words? I mean, did somebody, I need more. There needs more. But that was enough.
Amen.
For the individual to be prompted to, maybe he made a change in his life. I prayed for him after I left. And I know that God is doing a work in there. But even when you think it's not enough, God is the one that's moving.
Yes.
You're just a, I don't have to give him everything. I don't have to go from Genesis to Revelation. But it's just a word of encouragement.
Amen.
Christ and his direction. And I believe that changed that. Through that, yeah. God used that event to change that individual's life.
Amen.
Just a second, Robert. I'll give you a last chance. Anybody else?
I had a real good friend named Tom Solley.
At this church?
No, sir.
Oh.
He was one of my welding instructors
oh.
when I was 18 years old. And we hit it off. He was 10 years older than me. He was a Marine vet in Vietnam. And we became best of friends. He didn't know Christ, neither did I. And we were wild. And we had a riot. We just were great, great, great friends. Then I got saved. And everything changed. He didn't want to hear what I had to say, but I said it anyway. And obviously our relationship changed. We used to go out, smoke dope, drink whiskey, start cocaine, get high, be crazy. All that changed. So I would ride my motorcycle out there and talk to him, and he'd hear me, but he didn't want to hear what I had to say, So years go by. I had met his family. I'd met his dad before his dad died. Sweet old guy. Come to find out, his mom and dad were both Christians.
Wow.
Two sisters who are Christians. And so they all are excited that I'm his friend because
yeah.
I'm a Christian and I keep bugging them, right? So, our ways parted quite a bit, but I get a phone call and say, he's got brain cancer and he's in bad shape. So I head out to his house and I'm talking to him. And he shares with me, you know, he's got brain cancer and he's dying. I said, well, you know, if you would trust Christ, it'd be the best thing ever happened to you is the day you die. And, you know, he was offended. He didn't want to hear that. And I said, well, it's the truth. And I prayed with him. And basically, we didn't see each other too much. So one night, I'm in my barn working on something with a friend, actually. Get a phone call, say, hey, Soli's getting ready to die. He might have an hour or two left. He lived up in Armada. So I hurry up and drive out there. And he's in a hospital bed. He's in hospice. He's been in hospice quite a while. I walk in, family's all around, and he's in rough shape because he's been going through chemo, you know. And he's laying there, and I went over to him and I start kissing him on his forehead and tell him how much I loved him and that I was praying for him. And one of his sisters comes up to me and says, he just accepted Jesus Christ yesterday.
Wow.
So that made my day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I burst into joyful tears, and I start hugging him and kissing him, telling him, we're going to be spending eternity together, and this is great.
Oh, you know, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So, and there's a lot of his lost family around, too. Yeah. So anyway, I ended up leaving. I was there for a couple hours. And he died like 2 hours later.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was a tremendous witness to the family.
Absolutely.
And then again, at the memorial, I got an opportunity to stand up and speak. And I spoke for quite a while, because a lot of our friends and coworkers were there. And I told them, I says, now you guys are sitting on the fence. You know you need Christ, you know. And it was just fantastic. That's
awesome. And all the Lord's people said?
Amen.
Now, Robert, you don't get to make the last comment. You get to close in prayer. Next week, you can share it.
All right. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us all together to share in your story and to share, give each other encouragement.
Yes.
And increase our faith to be ever growing. That we know everything that ever happens that will bring to a good conclusion, and we'll be able to join you in eternity forever, where all the evil is gone and only God's goodness exists, and we'll be together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.
Amen. Sue, thank you so much for sharing. Jane, thank you so much. Those were wonderful stories. And you too, Dave. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.